Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Playbook for a Wednesday on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly, is with us, and we're waiting on you. Today is Three Questions Day. Yeah, three questions. We come up with some, what I think at least, are some things to kind of get your mind going in the direction of this game on Saturday night. I don't know how you feel about it one way or the other. I get the sense that there may be a little bit of a groundswell of support for the Indianapolis Colts, not just because they're a good enough team to win the game on Saturday, which they are. And we began talking like that yesterday because we certainly understand that you get to the stage of the game, you get to the Elite Eight, so to speak, in the NFL tournament, any team can beat any team, and that's the way it should be. That's why it's a tournament, and that's why teams have to prepare. But I would tell you that I get the sense, and maybe it's just me, but I know a bunch of these guys, but listening to some of the analysts on ESPN and Fox and NFL Network and some of the different places that you actually listen and really listen to what they're saying, I get the sense that some of these guys, are just flat out tired of the Patriots. And I've never really thought that before, because I really like to think, to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, all right, let me hear your analyzation. Let me hear why you think. But I'm hearing the same old all over again.
Like what? Like what?
Well, I'll give you a for instance. I think I heard, I can't remember specifically who it was last night because I was at my computer and I was doing some work. I think it was Mark Schlereth, and I don't know, and I probably shouldn't have even said his name, because I like Mark personally, and we worked together at ESPN Radio for a number of years. But I heard someone say something about how the Patriots need to protect Tom Brady, the Patriots need to run the football, and it was just one thing after another. I'm like, good God, haven't you seen the last couple of games?
They've done that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Mm. And so I'm like, this is just a simple regurgitation of the same things that we were talking about back like in week 8. This is not the same team as in week 8 of this regular season. And so it just struck me as odd. And then, Kevin, as we're going to play this for you in a little bit. I think it was John Gruden? It was John Gruden. Okay. So Monday Night Football's John Gruden, the John, you know, Chucky himself, picking the Indianapolis Colts to win the game and why he's picking them to win the game. And I got the sense that he did it mainly because he's just tired of the Patriots. You have that, Kev? Call it up for us. Let's let some others listen to this.
Colts go to New England after they have that unbelievable comeback to beat Kansas City, and there's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick staring them in the face. Just how much more difficult is it as a coach taking your team to New England to play?
I think it's a lot more difficult because of the history they have there, and they're so good in the elements, particularly number 12. Brady is not fazed by snow, sleet, rain, name it. It gets loud up there, too. They have a great tradition there of winning. Brady's usually at his best at home. But I just have a feeling about Andrew Luck. I think this is a team of destiny in the AFC. What Andrew Luck did last week against the Kansas City Chiefs will go down in history as one of the great performances ever, and I think Indianapolis is going to go there and shock New England.
So he has a gut feeling. What's wrong with that?
I just got the sense that he's doing that to be a contrarian. That was on Mike and Mike in the Morning this morning on ESPN Radio.
So you think he's being insincere? You think he really thinks the Patriots are going to win?
No, I just think that he just being a contrarian to stand up and make news for himself. And I, you know, I would have appreciated, you know, a little bit more and again, I didn't get to hear the whole interview, so it may have happened later on down the line. I only heard basically the part that you heard here. But I just would have liked some facts to back it up.
You wanted a tactical breakdown?
Yeah, I wanted a little bit of a breakdown from him.
A matchup breakdown?
And I was disappointed I didn't get it. So I don't know. And so the only thing I'm left as a fan and as someone who's listening, and this is the way I think that it could be taken by thousands of people across the country, is that, Gruden says that it's going to happen. Or Gruden says the Patriots are going to lose because the Colts are a team of destiny. Well, I'm buying that. Well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'd like to be able to make up my own mind. And again, just call it a sense. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe this is a byproduct of, the winning seasons and five straight AFC East titles and, five Super Bowls in the last 13 years. I mean, maybe it's just a sense of that. If it is, then say it. Just say it. Time for a new team. Time for a new, a new king at quarterback. Time for a team of destiny to rule in the AFC East or the AFC, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. Okay, I actually would have understood that even more than what I just got from John Gruden. Make any sense at all?
All right, I didn't get that sense from him, but sometimes, like last year, for instance.
Yep.
Ravens at Broncos
mm-hmm.
in the divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody said, Broncos going to win. And I went on a radio station in Denver and said, yeah, it makes sense that Denver is the better team, but I just have a gut feeling. I think the Ravens are going to win. I was proven right, but it was just a gut feeling. I didn't have any, technical breakdown reason. I didn't think that matchups were favoring or whatever. That was my feeling.
Well,
I felt like the Ravens were going to win.
Okay,
so
if you prefaced it by saying it's just a gut feeling, then okay, then that's fine. I understand that. And then that's kind of like rolling the dice or flipping a coin or whatever. Okay, well, I'm going to,
And that's essentially what I think Gruden was saying.
Yeah, but I expect
because he started off by saying, Brady's great
the guy's coached in the league, for God's sake.
He has, and
he's won a Super Bowl in the league.
And he's lost to this team in this town before.
Sure,
in an important playoff game, in the divisional round, by the way. And so he knows, and he even said, Brady's great in all these ways. It doesn't matter.
I'm tired of it. I think Andrew Luck is, that's just what I inferred. And again, it's obviously it's subject to conjecture and opinion here because he didn't go into any great detail either way.
Right.
To get back to the original premise here, love digression, right? Three questions today. Three questions. Number one, what in your mind does it take to succeed in the NFL playoffs? I tweeted this out earlier today, and I've come up with a couple of others since then, but that was the one that I really wanted to tackle first. Is it talent, the players on the field? Is it coaching and the scheming and the game planning, or is there an element of luck involved? And in this game, that could also include Andrew Luck.
Mm.
But that's what I want you to sit on that for a minute. Think about it, all right? And that's the first question of the day. What does it take to be successful in the present day National Football League playoffs? Talent, coaching, luck, a combination thereof. Could be any one of those things. All right, that's number one. Number two, kind of along the lines of what we were considering with the Colts here just a couple of moments ago. Maybe you do feel like the Colts can and or will win the game. And if you're a Colts fan, you obviously feel very strongly that way. I understand that. Who other than Andrew Luck concerns you on this team?
What other player?
Okay, that's fair.
Colby Fleener.
Okay, that's fair. And both of those guys are on my list.
Robert Mathis.
But if you took Andrew Luck out of the equation, who's capable? Consider it from this angle. Who's capable of picking the team up and taking this team to a victory? Is there somebody capable? Is there somebody you could say, even if you're the backup quarterback, that you could hand the ball off to or get the ball in his hands enough to where the Colts could still win the game? So other than Andrew Luck, who's your major concern on the Colts football team? All right, that's question number two today. And then question number three has to do with the plethora of injuries that we've had this year in New England. And I was thinking about this last night, and then I heard one of the local talk shows actually broached this subject earlier today. And I said, I think that's actually a great question, because there are a lot of Patriots fans that I think would love to have back somebody that they can't get back. So what I want you to do is consider, of all the guys that are done for the year, of all the guys that are on IR for the Patriots, if you could have one back eligible and healthy for the playoffs, who would it be?
unquestionably Rob Gronkowski.
See, I knew you were going to say that, which is why I'm glad I asked the question, because I would choose Vince Wilfork.
He would be second on my list.
Okay. I think you could also make a very strong case for Gerard Mayo. Because Gerard Mayo is so much better in coverage. Gerard Mayo makes the other linebackers better. I just, you know, than what we have right now? Come on, Eric. Eric, come on. You can't be serious.
Now, I don't think his loss has affected the defense significantly.
Okay.
Really don't.
Well, all right, that's fair.
Vince's, definitely.
Well, there's no
Mayo's.
There's no doubt about that, because Vince takes up, you know, two and three blockers
running game
every
suffered.
Snap.
Oh, running game has suffered.
There's no question about that. So that's why I wanted to open it up to Patriots fans, because I think that, you know, there's really not a right or a wrong answer here, but I like the points that were brought out earlier among some of the local fans here on who they think would be the best re-addition to the team. If you could get somebody off of the IR and have them healthy for the playoffs, who would make the biggest difference on this current Patriots team? I would also take Wilfork for the simple fact that defense wins championships, and right now all the defenses are equal. They stink. And if you put Vince on the Patriots, that might be a difference maker. It might be a difference maker. Now, I'm not going to argue Rob Gronkowski's not important, okay? That's not the argument I'm making.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that at this stage, I think the Patriots are learning and have learned to overcome based on what they have might still be enough. But if you put Wilfork in there and you amp that defense up to the point where now it's stuffing the run and you're making an opposing offense one-dimensional, now we're talking. Now you might be talking about a potential Super Bowl team, and I think the Patriots are that close. If they could get one player back that could make the difference between what they have now and a surefire Super Bowl contender, who would it be? All right, so you've got your three questions. You may tackle one, you may tackle two, you may tackle all three of them, but please put on your pads and hit us. Tackle webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Telephone number is 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500, or you can call the ACE ticket hotline 508-298-0398. Yes, social media is available at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. You like my questions?
I do.
Are they thorough? Are they thought-provoking?
Sure.
Are they negative?
Oh, everything we do on the show is negative, John. You know that.
Oh, man, some guy, it was a guy named Juvenile. You remember? You know who he is?
Yeah.
A frequent
writer in.
Frequent writer in, mostly for PFW, but he scolded me. The reason that he doesn't listen to this show all that often, although he was listening yesterday, but the reason he wasn't listening to the show that often is because he feels we're too negative. And I said, okay, well, then maybe you just want pom-poms with your cereal for breakfast. Okay, that's fine. Then listen to Fred. That's okay. I don't really have a problem with it. But, you know, if you think we're too negative, it's only because we're going the other side to balance the whole product out here. And that's all we've ever done. And when we're wrong, we say we're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We own up to it. And nobody's going to be 100% right. There's nobody that's ever going to be 100% right. I did again point out that I was 12-4 against the spread for the Patriots this year in picking Patriots games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's just at least a little bit of success rate here involved. And again, I'm not patting myself on the back. That could be luck too, but I like to think that I actually carefully consider and analyze the Patriots' best things and the best things about the other team, and then I make a choice based on the spread.
Yeah, we look at things.
And if I had actually put some money on it, I'd be well off right now. But you know, I don't do that because if I'd put money on it, well, you know that
you would have 1-15, 4-12, not 12-4,
or 1-15.
Yeah.
No, brother, I'd have gone the other way, south in a hurry. All right, so you got your questions again. It's pretty easy. Please tackle one or all of the above. But like I said, we want you to get up, put the big boy pads on, and tackle them today. What wins in the NFL? Is it talent? Is it coaching? Is it luck? I mean, is it like momentum? I would put momentum and things like that in the luck category.
Talent certainly doesn't guarantee that you're going to win it all. 2007
nope.
Patriots, perfect example.
I totally agree. That's why I'm asking the question.
So that I mean, it helps to have talent, but it's not the deciding factor in most cases.
I think when you get to the Elite Eight, if you will, basketball term, of course, things are pretty relative. Things are pretty even.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it does come down to a few key players, certainly. But I'll be honest, I really believe there's something to the momentum thing.
That's an intangible that I think needs to be counted in. I mean, look at the Ravens last year.
Bingo.
Boy.
And frankly, I give San Diego more than a puncher's chance.
I do, too. I really like them. Today's Wednesday.
Leaning?
Yeah.
You're leaning toward?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I am. I like San Diego. I'm liking them more as the week goes on, actually.
keep waiting for Kevin to hit the music.
But well, no, it's not yet. It's not prediction, not prediction time yet. Okay, no, right. We've got to save that for Thursday. But look at the Giants, the two times they beat us in the Super Bowl. They were a team that was during the regular season, but they had momentum.
They were very meh.
Going in.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
The Ravens, same thing last year.
Yeah.
The Chargers have that kind of same thing going on right now, and I think that's very, very important. The Patriots had it in 2001.
Mm-hmm. Sure they did.
Lost to the Rams in the regular season. That was the last time that season. They had huge momentum going in.
Yeah.
And calls going their way. That's another thing. You know, that's part of the luck, but, you know, calls and balls bouncing your way.
How many times do we hear people talk about, and Coach Belichick has said this as well, talk about you want to be playing your best football in December and January.
Of course.
It's all along those lines. You've got to be riding that momentum.
That's the most important thing, I think.
That's why teams that back into the playoffs and they go, oh, slate's clean. It's a new season.
Yeah.
I don't like you.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pick you. Now, you may ultimately prove me wrong, but you are definitely not in the majority.
Right.
The majority of the teams that have success, and not all teams, but the overwhelming majority of teams that have success are teams that ride in with some kind of momentum wave.
Right, right. So I think that, to me, is the most important thing. Are you playing with a head of steam going into the playoffs?
And I put that in the category of luck.
Well, it's not all...
It's an intangible. Maybe I use the word luck only because it was an easier word to deal with. Maybe
momentum,
it be,
I think, is the better word.
Well, here's the catch here. Maybe it should be talent, coaching, intangibles.
Fine. Okay.
It's a matter of semantics here right now, right? So, but that's kind of where I'm going with this. Luck, intangibles, momentum, whatever it may be. You know, which is most important? Which do you have to have to win in the NFL playoffs? And I'm a firm backer in the latter, in the luck / intangible / momentum. I think if you've got that on your side, you're in pretty good shape because I think it's a given that you have the talent and the coaching. In fact, if I had to rank them, I would go intangibles / luck, coaching, then talent in that order.
Intangibles, and then what was your second?
Coaching.
And then talent.
Yeah.
Hard to argue that.
I could also see somebody making the other argument. Well, how can you win if you don't have talent?
Plenty of teams do.
Well, that was my whole point
at the beginning.
Plenty
of teams win the Super Bowl without
much talent.
That's
my whole point at the beginning of the argument. You got these eight teams here. Everybody's got talent.
Mm.
It's all relative. Everybody's got talent that's sitting on the sidelines, too, which is why I wanted to ask the IR question today. If you could have one player back, here's another one of our questions today. One player back off the IR. That you think could make this team a surefire Super Bowl contender, who would you bring back? We got, what, eight of them to choose from, nine of them to choose from.
Yeah, plenty. I can tell you right now, I got the list in front of me.
Okay. Name the players who have been put on IR this year.
Adrian Wilson.
Yep.
Gerard Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Spikes.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Zusevic.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Grissom. Vince Wilfork. Sebastian Vollmer. Josh Boyce. TJ Moe. Rob Gronkowski. And Tommy Kelly.
Okay.
Those are the guys on IR.
Okay. There's some pretty good choices there. I think there's some obvious choices there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand why a lot of people would go with Gronk, but I'm going Vince.
Those are really the only two choices, I think.
I think you could make an argument for Mayo. I think you could. I don't know I think you could make a choice. I don't know if anybody will. But again, that's why I'm opening up for questions. And then, you know, concerning the Indianapolis Colts, other than Andrew Luck, what one player on this team concerns you the most? And to your point about T.Y. Hilton earlier, I would suggest, is Hilton really the kind of guy that you can fear if Andrew Luck isn't tossing him the darts?
Yes, because I think they have a very capable backup in Matt Hasselbeck.
Okay.
And that's something a lot of teams don't have, is a very capable backup.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
I think Fleener is my guy.
And I like him too.
And the reason that I kind of go with Fleener is because, you know, the underneath, you know, middle, you know, that soft yes. middle of the Patriots defense has been the Achilles heel, if there has been one. And I think that's where Andrew Luck.
The rush defense.
Yes, the rush defense especially. And so I think that's where the Patriots are liable to be exploited. I do think that we'll see quite a bit of Aqib Talib finding time on a guy like Hilton, probably find some coverage over the top. But I'm almost wondering if, and again, I'm just throwing this out there, I'm wondering if Talib might not have to spend some time shadowing Fleener.
It wouldn't be unheard of. They had him on, why is my name drawn a blank? The Saints. Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Precisely my point, Eric. See, you know, great minds think alike. It's shocking. Every once in a while, we kind of like, you know.
Once in a while.
Once in a while. So, but that's exactly where I was thinking. I'm like, well, then why wouldn't you put Talib on a guy if you really feared him? So that's why I'm asking the question.
And Bill even kind of hinted a little bit today when he was talking about Fleener. He was saying, you know, they have their, you know, Fleener, the tight end, wide receiver, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, hybrid.
So he's not even. Yeah, he's not
even. He's a hybrid. He can split out. He can
slot. Certainly not a Gronk.
No, he's not a Gronk. But that's what concerns me.
He's more like.
More like what?
I was going to say more like a Hernandez, but.
So we can't say the guy's name around here
anymore?
No,
in terms. Well, it's just. I understand. Topic.
I understand.
In that he's technically a tight end, but he's more of a receiver.
Yeah.
In what he asked to do.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's why he is at the top of my list. Mm. And that's why I'm asking you the question, who's at the top of your list? All right. Once again, webradio@patriots.com. Toll free number 855-PATS-500. Ace ticket hotline 508-298-0398. At JR Broadcaster, John.Rook on Facebook. All right. Before we get to a break here, some of the news that did come out right at the tail end of, PFW had to do with Josh McDaniels withdrawing his name from consideration as head coach, potential new head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised at all?
Nope, not one bit. I didn't think all along he was going to accept the job.
I didn't either.
And who knows if...
kind of wished he had.
Why?
I'm not a big Josh McDaniels fan.
Oh.
Never have been, and I've been pretty consistent with that. I don't think he's terrible. I just think there have been some very curious calls over the course of the year that I think they're trying to get too cute and too fancy and get away from who this team really is.
I can see that, definitely. But, no, I didn't think all along that the Cleveland job was the right one for him, even though there are arguments you could make for why he would want to take it, you know, going back home being the biggest one. And I didn't think it was the right fit organizationally. They're in a lot of trouble there up in that front office. I don't know. They're going to have a tough time finding a really qualified, capable candidate to fill that job, I think, to have to deal with all of what's going on there.
Have to find somebody probably that's either A, been a coordinator, or B, come from the college ranks.
Maybe.
Yeah, right?
And that's probably – you're going to have to really luck out and get a guy – you're going to have to get like a Jimmy Johnson who was able to do it at both levels. Not a lot of guys can do it successfully at both levels.
Mm-hmm.
Chip Kelly might be one of those. You know, if they can find someone like him, maybe. But I don't know. So, I'm not surprised at all that he's taken his name out of it. Plus, there are some other jobs out there maybe he's interested more in right now. Maybe he wants to stay here for another year and wait and see what opens up next year. I'm not convinced that he's not going to be here next year.
All right, so there you go. Thoughts, food for thought, three questions today. They're all on the agenda. We want you to pick it up and let us know your thoughts. We'll get a timeout in here. We get back right inside the playbook talking to you coming up.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Where are you today?
Right here.
Has apathy set in?
I know you're here.
I'm kind of curious. I don't think I'm really trying to remember a show where we didn't have phone lines lit up, especially going into a playoff game, and there's nobody out there. Are we on the air? Hello? Is this working?
Hope people aren't taking this game for granted.
I'm stunned by this. I really am. You know, good, solid, thought-provoking questions, and nobody wants to talk about it today. 855-PATS-500. You can jump right in. That's pretty amazing. I wanted, before we get to taking some of the those that have taken the time to actually write today and join us on the program, I wanted to get your thoughts on Johnny Manziel. His last year's Heisman Trophy winner, the kid from Texas A&M, declared for the draft today. So that means he's going to forgo his last 2 years of collegiate eligibility, which is probably a smart idea. But then again, is it?
I'm one of those old-fashioned guys that doesn't think it's ever a good idea to leave school. You should take advantage of the opportunity. I know people say, oh, you can always go back and get your degree. But, A, it's different. Once you've gone into the real world, it's tougher to go make that decision to go back. And B, you're only that age once. You can't experience college the way it should be experienced if you go back 5-10 years later. Completely different. You should just, school is for school. You're a student athlete. You're not an athlete student.
Right. Right, but I think we all realize that, you know, it's really,
I know it's
in a
the
lot
minor
of ways,
leagues,
it's student
in a lot
athletes
of ways,
in name only.
Yeah.
And then at what point do you really get a diminishing return?
The NFL needs to create a minor league system like baseball.
They do.
To take the, drop all pretense. School should be for school.
I think the USFL, had it started out like that back in the 80s, it'd still be alive today.
Yeah, I agree. Because look at the Arena League.
Sure.
They didn't try to compete with the NFL. They said, here's what we're going to do.
Right.
Successful business model.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's obviously he's making this decision based on money, which is never the right reason to make any decision, almost any decision. Should never be made primarily about money. So stupid move by him for that. I also think he's a very troubled person and is going to be one of these people that burns out.
He's,
very quickly.
Kid is just a partier. Let me. I got.
He's more than that.
I think.
I think he's got head issues.
He might. But I can tell you that he spent most of his time this past off season, this past summer, on the University of Texas campus. And the reason that I know this is because he was at my nephew's fraternity parties.
How far is that from
the UT campus?
How far is that?
College Station from Austin is about 100 miles.
So that's not close.
80 or 90 miles maybe, closer to that. Somewhere in that vicinity.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know.
But it's not like it's the next town over. It's
No, it's not. But he was also, he went to high school in Kerrville, so that's also a little closer to Austin than College Station would be. So it stands to reason he could spend time at home, and then he'd come to Austin on his way back to College Station. It was just easier because it was kind of, you know, in a sense, you could make it an on-the-way trip. I think that he, not interested in school.
Right.
Just one of those kids that's not interested in school. For whatever reason, he really didn't care about the academic part of it.
Mm-hmm.
This year was very tough for him, even on the field, because he couldn't measure up to, you know, the unbelievable year that he had last year.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew that that year would kind of come. And so I could understand why he feels like with 2 more years of eligibility left, but he's been out of high school for 3 years, mm-hmm. which is what you have to be in order to be eligible for the draft.
Right.
I can understand why he would turn the page, because, you know, what good really would another year at school do him if you're already not interested in getting that education, which I'm not sold that he is. And
clearly not.
And you can only go down from here in terms of your, you know, the accolades that you bring up.
I disagree with that because, I mean, who's to say he can't have another great year and win the Heisman?
Well, but I haven't taken a close look at A&M. I don't know whether or not if they have the tools back next year. He loses a couple of his receivers, I think. So, I mean, you know.
No, I know why he's doing it. I understand completely why he's doing it.
He's doing it because we need more cannon fodder in New York.
We?
We as Patriots fans.
Oh,
I want
him to be
a
Jet.
I want him so bad to be a Jet.
Yeah. I, again, I, I agree with you, though, John, on that respect. I think he was a very entertaining college player to watch. And unlike a guy like Russell Wilson, who is also a smaller quarterback who did very well in college, I don't see Johnny Manziel translating into a long-term productive NFL quarterback.
I think his skill set, I'll be honest, I think his skill set is kind of similar to what we've seen from Michael Vick when Michael Vick was in his prime. And I think we've seen what the NFL can do to guys like Michael Vick. So expose them. So I think, you know, while Manziel has some talent, and he might actually show that talent his first couple of years, I think he ends up, you know, minus the whole dog escapade, if he doesn't get himself into off-field trouble like Michael Vick did, I could see him going 3-4 years and gone.
Flaming out, exactly. And plus, I think he's the kind of, you know, if he continues his off-field behavior, I don't think he's going to have much of an NFL life at all.
I know.
He'll probably get overdrafted and paid a lot.
I think that's a given. I think he'll be, I mean, he's probably, based on his accolades, he'll probably get, you know, what will he be taking? Late first, early second? Probably no worse than that, but he's probably really not much better than a third or fourth round draft choice if you really looked at, you know, the pro prototype.
See, I was really a big fan a couple of years ago of Russell Wilson for a couple of reasons.
And where was he selected in the draft, by the way?
Lower than he should have. Much lower than he should have, obviously, and for the wrong reason, you know, because he was too short. Ooh, big deal. A guy like him was, first of all, he stayed in school and produced. I know he played a little baseball too, but he stayed in school and was a winner wherever he went. Started at NC State, let's not forget, before he went to Wisconsin. And he won at NC State. And he won at Wisconsin and did it for over the long term. He's a smart player. He's a guy, when you hear him talk, you can tell he's a smart kid. I like my quarterbacks to be smart as well as talented and athletic. I don't care how tall you are.
Makes sense.
You know? Yeah. And so I really liked him. I also liked like a guy like Philip Rivers, another NC State guy, but a guy who showed me for 4 years in college that he was capable, and he was intelligent, and he had some talent. I really liked him when he was coming out in the draft, too. I prefer my quarterbacks to be like that, and I don't see Johnny Manziel as being even close to either of those guys.
Well, if you got some thoughts on that, certainly welcome them as well. All right, to the phones, because you know we asked, and you answered. Here's Tim in Colorado, lead us off. Hey, Tim, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how's it going out there in New England?
Good, Tim, good. We're cold, just like it is everywhere else in the universe.
It's always colder back there because of the humidity, but I wanted to talk to you about, I feel like this year we're slightly under-talented, but the running game has been pulling us out of a lot of tough spots, and I just want you to comment on how you think the running game is going to fare for us going up against the Colts, but also possibly coming out to Denver, or if we had to face San Diego at home. I feel like not necessarily. Brady just doesn't have the weapons to work with this year. And I think with Blunt and even Ridley and definitely Vereen, I think we're going to throw a lot more running into the mix, and it's really going to be our chance to make another Super Bowl. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Cool. E, you want to start?
I like their – well, I'm going to just go short-term here because I don't take for granted that they're going to get past this week. But I like the matchup of our running game against Indy's rush defense. And I think the game plan is going to be very similar to what we saw against Buffalo in Week 17. Try to run the ball as much as possible early, jump on a lead, and continue to run the ball to get that clock to just wind down as quickly as possible. And I think they'll have success using all three of the main backs, Blunt, Ridley, and Vereen. Vereen hopefully more as a in the passing game aspect of it, but just getting him involved nonetheless I think will be important. And Blunt and Ridley alternating that left-right punch right up the middle there, I like the Patriots' chances doing that.
What do you think, Tim?
Do you feel like the rest really helps us out, or, you know, like, after, I know.
Absolutely.
Sure does.
The Patriots come off an emotional comeback win like this and come out a little flat, and I feel like, you know, you can say it either way. You could say the Colts made a comeback, or Kansas City just pooped their panties. But either way, I feel like they drained a lot out of that game, and it's going to be tough to come into New England while it's raining.
Well,
they're a dome team and everything.
I would caution that by saying people said the exact same thing about Baltimore last year when they won an emotional game in Denver. Oh, there's no way they can repeat that coming to New England.
And
oh, guess what?
They did.
So
yeah.
don't even think about taking these Colts for granted.
I do, however, have at least a little bit of concern over the Patriots coming out flat, because I do think that sometimes
that's been a problem all year, though.
Yes, it has been. And I do think that sometimes having the week off, the negative side to having a week off and having the bye, is sometimes you get caught a little flat-footed, especially at the start of a game.
However, I will say that that was a problem for most of the year, but I think since the Baltimore game, when they jumped out early, held on to the lead against Buffalo, jumped out early, held on to the lead, I think they're starting.
It's less of a problem
of a
now
problem
than it was
now,
say 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. So I like.
Well, can I?
I like their chances better that way.
Sorry.
No, right. Go ahead.
Can I also comment that I feel like it's one of with the adversity we've dealt with all the injuries and Hernandez, and you know, I've lived out here 23 years and grew up in New England, and fortunately I'm coming back there for my dad's funeral tomorrow, which stinks. But
I'm sorry to hear that.
I feel it's a bummer, but you know. It's the way it goes. But, you know, I feel like we're a grittier team than we've been in the past. Like, we don't have the talent, and you know, Marshall Faulk on his little shows, and they're all just ripping on the Patriots, overlooking us. I think we have to go off the grit we have this year and the toughness, because we've just lost so many weapons on both sides of the ball, especially the defensive side. And, you know, losing Spikes isn't going to help anything. I think, you know, we're pretty evenly matched with the Colts. I don't think it's a give-me either. I think it's going to be a really tough team. I'm bummed they have to come back for this, but, you know, being back in New England with my family, I'm excited to watch the game and everything. But what can you say about the mental? Do you feel like we're a more mentally tough team than we have been in a couple years?
I think that there's something to that. I don't know that can be said unequivocally, because this team is younger, and we've made this point throughout the course of the year, Tim, that, you know, you've got 18 first or second year players on this roster, of which none have been in the playoffs before. So because of that, you know, maybe the last few weeks has gotten them a little tougher mentally, and that's a good thing, but I'm just not sure that you can say that up and down the roster. So I don't know if that'll have as big a factor or not, but the fact that we've seen it over the last couple of weeks, at least with the ability to kind of get over the hump and hold somebody off, that's definitely a benefit.
I mean, if you look at our injuries, and you know, before the year started, I thought our defense was definitely going to be our strength, and I predicted we were going to go 11-5, but you know, you have to say, and I'm not saying the AFC was some super strong, dominant class or anything this year, because I don't think it was the AFC East, but to be 12-4 at this point, you got to be pretty dang happy with the way the first round bye worked out. And,
no question.
You know,
no question.
And I mean, I know you don't want to look past the Colts, I get that, but do you think we stand a chance going out to Denver?
Well, if it is Denver, and I'm not concerned,
I'm not convinced
it's going to be. I really am not. I said this earlier. We really kind of feel that San Diego has better than just a puncher's chance here.
I thought San Diego was going to upset Cincinnati. I didn't know it would go like it did. I thought that they, for some reason, they feel like the ball. The scary part is if they can go to Denver and Cincinnati and win, who's to say they're not going to carry that momentum
right
to the East Coast? I mean, I think everybody's kind of looking past San Diego. And it's kind of funny because I live in the mountains way out west of Denver, kind of between Telluride and Aspen. And everybody just seems to think Denver, like watching the news and everything, and I get it.
Well, of course, because that's the hometown team. But you know what, Tim? Let's revisit this next week, all right? How's that?
Okay, fair enough. Hey, it was great talking to you guys, and I'm looking forward to being in New England and watching this game Saturday night, even though it's going to be an extremely tough day for me. And
yeah, we understand. Yeah, no problem at all. And listen, you know, Godspeed, my
hopefully
man.
Hopefully the game can help you take your mind off it a little bit.
Absolutely. Eldridge in North Carolina, you're up next, Eldridge.
Hey, so happy New Year. I know I didn't talk to you earlier, but how y'all doing?
Excellent, Eldridge. Happy New Year to you, too.
Hey, I was listening to what the first caller was saying, but you can't look past Indy, not yet.
True.
You know?
True.
I'm not looking past them because of what they did to the Chiefs. Chiefs had a little bit better defense, but not a little better offense than what we got. They got a better defense, especially when they start losing players. So I'm just more concerned about our defense with the receivers than I am about anybody else. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because Hilton, you know, I know Bill's going to take away their best threat, which is going to be T.Y. So that leaves the tight ends. That leaves Derek Rogers, who I'm hoping that we would get, but we didn't. And the other guy, you know, to make plays. And Love spreads around. You know, I know Hilton's the main guy since Reggie went down, but still, my main concern is the defense.
Okay.
You know, corralling and stopping.
Sure.
Are we healthy than doing was the last couple of weeks? Or is McCourty still out? You know, still out. And, you know, Cleese still got that ear problem.
You want to update that, Eric?
Sorry, I was just trying to.
No worries.
Trying to check my Twitter feed for some other news
that
I was looking for. But you wanted a practice update?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Dobson remains the only guy not out there. And that's, at this point, now problematic for his availability on Saturday because now that he hasn't practiced since he left the Buffalo game in the finale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I would not count on him for this week. Unfortunate. But a guy like Kenbrell Tompkins, who hadn't been much of a factor toward the end of the year, has been practicing, so they're going to need him to come back and step up, especially if Dobson is not able to.
Somebody receiver going to step up.
Yeah.
Edelman
and Amendola are your top two guys, though.
Right.
Yeah.
How's McCourty's health?
He's been practicing, too, and he's been talking. So that, to me, is a sign, indication,
right?
That he'll be back in the starting lineup.
Okay. Eldridge, I know that you're qualified. I know that you're qualified to answer the questions. In terms of the NFL playoffs, what's more important in having success? Is it the talent on the field, the coaching on the sidelines, or the intangibles?
I'm going with the intangibles.
Okay. Why?
I'm going with the intangibles. Because there's just certain things that you just can't, you know, just can't coach. miraculous catch, or, you know, last-minute play to save the game, you know, to stop, you know, you just can't count, you know, you can't coach that.
Right.
You can't coach that, you can't, you know, that's a God-given talent.
All right. Number two, then, other than Andrew Luck, who concerns you the most on this Colts team?
Hilton and Derek Rogers.
Okay, Derek Rogers?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any particular reason why Rogers?
Derek, he started coming on the last couple weeks. You know, when they start feeding him more of the ball, he's a big physical receiver and he's fast. We ain't got nobody in our secondary that can cover him. Well, speed for speed, zone maybe. Speed for speed, nobody. And that's what I was hoping we would get in the draft. Everybody kept shooting me down. Him or Hunter. Or, you know, or even Cordell Patterson.
Okay.
Three, and all three of them is doing dirty good with them, Thompson and Dobson. And you want them out.
Okay.
They are FY.
All right. And then the last question has to do with the IR list that the Patriots have this year. If you could bring one player back for the playoffs, who would it be?
Wilford, excuse me.
Yeah, that's Wilford. That was my choice, yeah. Why will fork over, say, Gronkowski?
Because we need that run stopper and that pressure up the middle. And that veteran leadership. Now, I ain't taking too much from Jones and Romano, whatever his name is.
Right.
And Stiga, whatever, Del Falega, you know, but Ben's still the man, and, you know, I just want to have Ben.
Okay.
Because you have coaching him on that.
Right. Okay. Good stuff, Eldridge. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Before we move on here, though, Brooklyn Matt has a question for you, Eric. All Hello, right. Brooklyn Matt.
Hey, fellas. How's this going?
Not bad. Happy New Year.
Yeah, long time no hear from.
I figured I better get it in before it all comes crashing down.
There you
never
go.
Never know when that's going to happen.
Well, you never know when a meteor is going to come out of the sky and knock you out, too.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, Nice to talk to you guys. I heard a couple of things that were familiar to myself. You guys talking about Brown University came up earlier.
Oh, dear God.
As you know, I'm a product.
Yes,
of
I know
Brown
your
University
parents.
Graduate.
Yes,
parent.
I know. Yes. What's your question?
So you could just sit there envious about that.
What's your question? Come on, I got to run. I got things to do.
Talking about NC State football players, I did 2 years at NC State.
Yeah.
After they won the basketball championship with Valvano in 83.
Okay.
So, yeah, I have a question to Eric.
Go.
We're waiting.
How do you feel that LeGarrette Blount is going to perform in the next game? Because last week he was just running roughshod over everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know how much you attribute that to the conditions on the field and the footing. And do you expect him to be a force, or do you expect him to go a little bit back to the pack?
I don't think it was necessarily much of the rain being a factor, because it was just his exercising his will over the Bills. They couldn't tackle him, and that had nothing to do with footing. It had just he was unstoppable that game. That was the game of his career thus far. To expect him to replicate that again might be asking a little too much, but I still think the combination of him and Ridley. And I'll even throw Vereen in there, too, is going to be potent. And he'll certainly get plenty of carries and maybe score once or twice.
That he just showed up like Superman in the last game, but you know he was sort of like low-key for the whole rest of the year. It's complete black and white.
Well, I don't know if he was necessarily low-key because whenever he's gotten his chances, he's done pretty well. I've been impressed with the way he's run all season long. I mean, going even back to the preseason, I liked what he's brought to the team. I just didn't think he was getting as many opportunities because, you know, Ridley was the man there for a while who was getting most of it. But then when he started fumbling and losing fumbles, Blount started getting his chances and been making the most of them. And, you know, none more so than week 17.
Right.
So, again, I don't think he's going to put up that kind of career performance again, but I still think he'll put up 70, 80 yards, maybe a touchdown. That might be just enough if you add in another, you know, chip in another 60, 70 from
somebody else.
Somebody else, or 30 or 40 from someone else.
That sounds really, not, you know, that's nice.
The running game's going to be a factor.
When I was watching, you know, the Chiefs game and the Colts, I noticed that the Chiefs were controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and that bodes well for the Patriots too.
As long as they can continue to play as well as they have over the last couple of weeks, offensive line has definitely improved, and I think been a huge factor in the momentum that we were talking about earlier. They have really, especially in light of the fact that, you know, they've had the injuries at tackle, when Mankins is kicked out to play left tackle, they've surprisingly been solid.
Yeah, it looks good. You guys have done a great job in making me feel more confident about the Saturday night's game. So,
well, I don't think that we need to feel complacent about it. That's for
certainly
sure.
Certainly not.
Oh, no, never. But so if everything goes great and you guys are coming down to MetLife Stadium at the beginning of February, I just want to say, everybody over my house. No sleep till Brooklyn with the classy hoe.
Oh boy,
I love it. Brooklyn, man.
Wow.
Yeah, guys, he's a little unattached.
No sleep till
there.
Brooklyn. All right.
I know.
Wow.
Everybody over my house.
So you know how they have those ads that ask, "What can Brown do for you?" Is that what Brown does for its
graduates? Yeah, that's a fine example of Brown University.
His parents went there.
Or was it more green, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that. All right. Hang on the phones. We've got much more to get to. We've still got your answers. Yeah. We've still got your answers to our three questions today. Number one, what does it take in the NFL to win in the playoffs, in your estimation? Is it talent, is it coaching, or is it luck/intangibles that really make the difference between winning and losing in the NFL? Number two, other than Andrew Luck, who concerns you the most on the Indianapolis Colts roster? And number three, if you could have one player from the IR back for the Patriots in the playoff run, who would it be and why? webradio@patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Time now for
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corncob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Got a beauty today?
Atavism.
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 Atavism. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Atavism.
Atavism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I haven't heard that one. That's a good one.
Okay. It's a scientific term, meaning the reappearance of a characteristic or a trait that has been dormant for at least a generation or two.
Okay.
In a an example might be...
losing, like, re-entering the Patriots.
I was trying to do something positive, Mr. Dark Cloud. Oh, but an example might be...
really, I don't want to upset Juvenile. So.
An artistic talent, yeah, that skips a parent.
Oh, I see.
And goes into a grandchild or a great grandchild.
Okay.
And that would be an example of atavism.
That would be like baldness skipping from my father to my son, skipping over me.
Sure. Yeah. It certainly didn't skip over you.
No. Artistic training.
Right.
So that would be an atavism, right?
Yeah, yeah, that would be, yeah.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
And there's the adjective atavistic.
Atavistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you could say, like, you know, my artistic abilities are atavistic.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they've skipped over
parents.
Generation.
Yeah,
right.
My parents or grandparents didn't have them. Or
probably going to be that way because, you know, I played musical instruments all through school, mm-hmm, and neither of my sons picked it up. So
okay,
may have to be for the grandkids. You
possibly,
know?
Yeah.
Right. I'm not ready for that yet.
Though. No, you don't need to be called grandpa.
Don't need to be called Hey, Gramps, get out of the way.
Taking my music lesson, Gramps.
You're moving too slow. Move it, old timer. All right, Big E. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
All right. Rock and roll.
Predictions
tomorrow. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. Let's get a timeout in here. We get back to the telephones. We're answering three questions today in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
In hour number two of the playbook, coming up in 25 minutes, we're going to hear from the head coach, Bill Belichick, the very latest from here at Gillette Stadium. Just finished with his press conference and conference call, so we're going to bring it to you right here inside the playbook today. Again, coming up in about 25 minutes. In the meantime, I want to get back to talking to you. Thank Dave in Connecticut for hanging in there. Dave, you're in the playbook. How's it going?
Hey, John, how are you?
Great, sir. How are you?
Is Eric still there?
He actually went upstairs to write.
All right, well, you know what? I didn't catch your show yesterday, and heard both of you guys get a little slammed about saying, if the Patriots didn't win the Super Bowl this year, you know, Eric was kind of adamant about it being a disappointing season.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree with him, okay, because, you know, beginning of season every year, every team in the league starts 0-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every team from Jacksonville Jaguars to everybody's like, hey, we got a chance to win the Super Bowl. We're going to the Super Bowl this year. And then half those teams by the end of preseason are like, oh, no, we suck again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots legitimately have a shot every year to go to the Super Bowl. And I agree with Eric said, but, you know, immediately, yes. As a diehard fan, and as I told you, you know, when they do lose, you know, don't talk to me for the week because I'm like a grizzly bear. Okay?
Right.
All right. It's like, you know, my friends, my family know that. My friends, my wife knows it. Don't leave me alone. Leave me alone at least till Saturday, and then we can talk. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have yet to watch the Giants Super Bowl games, the replays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David freaking Tappy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave that one alone. But I think, you know, when we all sit back and look at the adversity and the players we lost this year, we're going to look back at it and we're going to say, you know what? For what they had, you know, and you know, all season long, you know, you'll do it yourself. You're like, what do we have with this team? We have a team that is hard-nosed and is not going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right, and that's something that a lot of other teams can't say, you know, I'm saying that. And I got a couple questions for you. Seeing adoption's hurt, and he might not play. What about this kid that they activated? I don't know his name.
Dunn.
His number was 84. And
Dunn.
You know, they were saying Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Can this kid possibly play in the game?
I'd be shocked if it happened. I'll be honest with you.
Happens,
just like I'd be shocked if Deion Branch is activated for the Colts. I mean, I'd be shocked. Especially when you consider A, that you've got enough healthy receivers probably ready that you're going to go to first and foremost. Number one, somebody's got to be inactive in this game. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure this is more all right, let's see what he might be able to give us on down the line, and we're protecting ourselves in case somebody else goes down.
Right. And I think, like they said, that, you know, he's definitely like the T.Y. Hilton receiver, and they wanted to, you know, use him.
Precisely. So they're going to use him in practice as a kind of a guy to mimic, to play that role. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And if he sticks, he sticks.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Now, the three questions I think are really good. And, you know, talking about coaching,
mm-hmm.
tangibles or, you know, quality of players. I know this is going to kind of sound corny, but I think you need a little bit of each.
Yeah. Right?
You know, like that's that old saying, rather be lucky than good. I mean, the ball, first of all, you have to have the ball bounce, you know, in your direction.
No question.
In case you look at the Colt game
mm-hmm.
where that fumble, that ball could have bounced. If you fumbled that ball in that situation 9 out of 10 times, that ball's not going to go back to luck like it did. It's going to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, and he was just there at the right time, scooped it up, and dove into the end zone for a touchdown.
Yep, I agree. I don't think you're corny with this at all. I absolutely agree that it takes a little bit of each. I would say that the intangibles probably outweigh the others because everybody's got to have talent to get this far. But the best talent, however, you can make the case, Dave, the best talent is the one talent that's usually going to win out. Not in all cases, and we saw that in 07.
Not in all cases.
But it usually works out that way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the coaching aspect, you know, obviously, you want to have your game plan in place, but it's the coach who's able to, you know, I hate to say it, like a Bill Belichick who's able to switch on a fly.
Sure.
You know, this isn't working. This is our second, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he has that script.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are, you know, I actually think the Chiefs got away from the running game in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they maybe stay to it.
Well, you know, to their credit, though, they also lost, you know, their best runners. So, I mean, that also probably, you know, makes you want to try to do something else when you lose somebody like that. All right, what about the questions 2 and 3?
Questions 2 and 3?
Yeah, question 2 was Andrew Luck. Who else worries you on the team?
T.J. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton, think, yes.
You know, you need to control him. I think it's going to have to be done with the – we're going to have to put a lot of pressure, you know, obviously contain it
mm-hmm.
within the pocket, not let him get outside.
Okay.
But yeah, you need a big game from Chandler Jones there to, you know, get a couple sacks on him, make him get that ball out a little quicker than he normally would.
Okay.
And you have to go with Gronkowski. I mean, I would love to see Wolfolk back, and I agree with the guy from Atlanta said. But, you know, you just look at the numbers offensively. You know, that when Gronkowski was back, it covered up a lot of the defense's, you know, you know, malfunctions there. You know, not malfunctions by not being able to play, but not having the players there. It made it a lot.
Yeah, I understand where you're going with it. I just, and I think it's, I don't really, it's not a wrong answer either way you go. I just, you know, thought that, you know, it seemed to me that the Patriots have been able to overcome the loss of Gronk more so than the loss of Wilfork based on the statistics. And just now are they starting to, you know, sort of shape themselves back into a defense that can at least be competitive. I mean, if you were to ask, I think, every Patriot fan, Dave, today, what's their greatest concern about Saturday? And you'd have to say, well, the defense and stopping Andrew Luck. Precisely my point, which is why if you had a guy like Wilfork back in there taking at least one element of the game back and making them perhaps, conceivably, a little more one-dimensional, you might actually feel a little bit better about your chances of winning that particular game.
I think the running game is going to, you know, I think our running game is going to either win or lose that game for us. You know, there was like that old mantra when Brady was just, you know, lighting teams up, you know, and, you know, how do you stop Tom Brady? How do you stop Tom Brady? You know, hit him with a hammer in the locker room.
Yeah.
Or
right.
Keep him off the field. Mm-hmm. You know, have your running game chew up the clock.
Sure.
And I think, you know, I think that our running game is going to have to be big, not just in this game. You know, I'm not looking ahead. You know, I agree with you guys. I think if we take care of this, I have a feeling that we might be doing more game at home.
Yep. Well, I think there's every opportunity for that, and obviously we'll try to deal with that a little bit more tomorrow.
Yeah, got to handle our business.
Right, precisely.
But, it's a game that, you know, it's not going to be easy. You know, the Colts are there for a reason too.
Yeah, I would say so. Dave, good stuff. Thank you very much for the phone call today. Let me get to a bunch of these too. I got a couple of. Got a couple of Facebook posts that I want to share. Daryl says, for the poll questions, I'd love to have Big Vinny back. As thin as we are at the linebacker level, I don't think the loss of Spikes is as big as many will make it. I have faith in Fletcher, Hightower, and Collins to step up and make the plays that need to be made. The interior of the D-line, despite the heady play by the rookies and my man from Utah, Silver Salinga, has me concerned. I think we'd get more consistent pressure and be better against the run with Wilfork in the mix. I could not agree more, Daryl. His presence in the middle is liable to make Chandler Jones a much better pass rusher as well. Says Mathis is the only Colt that worries me besides Andrew Luck. He's a monster and a machine, but I think we can negate him just like we've negated J.J. Watt, despite the difference in their positions on the line or playing style. That'll all come down to scheme and coaching. And since I'm listening clandestinely at work, I missed the last question. If you give me a read, I'll listen as best I can and shoot you the answer. Yeah. The primary is you kind of got that one. Intangibles. Yeah, oh, then here he just answered. He said, also going with intangibles, teams of destiny, man, can't beat them. That's very true. What's it take, talent, coaching, or intangible slash luck to succeed in the NFL playoffs? I totally agree with the intangibles. Mary Beth says, John, I agree with you on Wilfork. He would be my pick. We could use some effective defense on the line. And I agree with that. I agree with that, both of you. All right, let me get to some emails now. Again, webradio@patriots.com is our email address if you want to jump in on it. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number if you want to pick up the phone and call. We had the phone lines jammed a little while ago. I'm sure there were some of you who tried to get through, so now's a good time. This one comes from Steven. It says, I fully believe it's a combination of the first two, coaching and talent on the field. I think a lot of us Pats fans, including myself, are spoiled because of how successful our team has been. I agree with both of you, myself and Eric, but I would have to bring back Big V, Vince, because the run game overall seems to be the theme of this year's playoffs. Ross in Canada. 28-point comebacks are impressive, but let's call it what it actually was. One of the best three interception games you'll ever see thrown against an injury-plagued team whose coach couldn't figure out clock management. I thoroughly enjoyed the Chiefs-Colts matchup. Luck is a tremendous talent, but far too much is being made of this game with the key details being left out. I think good fortune or luck is what it takes quite often to win in the playoffs. Fortune favors the bold. That's a great point, Ross. That's why you see teams, you know, throw caution to the wind and sometimes, you know, do some razzle-dazzle or go for it on fourth down or fake punts, whatever. You're right. Fortune does favor the bold. Awesome statement right there. Mathis, he says, is the player I fear most outside of Andrew Luck. So that's two votes for Mathis. Player I want back for the playoffs is Mayo. I think Pat's Nation undervalues what he brings to the defense. John, you and Eric aren't necessarily positive, but I do appreciate the different vantage points you decide to take. I always respect those not afraid to go against the grain. Well, it doesn't have to be a matter of being positive or negative. How about just analytical? Let's just say we're being analytical, and if it means that we don't shake the pom-poms every time we get on the program here, does that really make us negative? No. Just means we're not going to out-and-out root for a team. That's all. Tyus says, good afternoon for your questions. I think coaching is the most important factor because that will get you to the playoffs most often. We may have the best coach of all time. That's why we keep going back. Good coaching allows for the building of momentum because you study the other teams. Second, Gronk, without a doubt, we would have won our last Super Bowl if he was healthy. Well, but I'm not asking about the last Super Bowl. I'm asking about who'd you like to have back now. He says, last, I'm not worried about any one of the Colts except Luck. Woo. Okay. By the way, I love seeing the Patriots getting counted out because it will get our guys fired up. All right, Tyus, thank you. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. It's a combination of talent coaching and the ball taking a few lucky bounces. As you stated, when you get to this level of play, the talent level is fairly close. The gaps are not that disparate between teams. If I had to weight them, I'd say 30% talent, 50% coaching, 20% intangibles. I think coaching is the most important. I think I'm going to go 50% intangibles on that one. I'm going to say 30% coaching and 20% talent. Anyway, good stuff, Howard. He says, one player back, I have a real hard time between Vince and Gronk. I could argue either way, but have to go with Vince because of what he adds to the D, both in run and stopping and collapsing the pocket when it comes to the pass rush. Gronk would change this O, no doubt about it, but the Pats will need that big run-stuffing DL when and if they face Seattle or the 49ers in the bowl. Also, they'll need to collapse the pocket against Manning or Rivers in the AFC Championship game when they get there. Notice he says when, not if. Bottom line, I don't think you could go wrong with Gronk or Vince, but if forced to choose, I'd go D and pick Vince. And then finally he says, one player on the Colts to be concerned with, Mathis. If Vollmer was there, I wouldn't be so concerned, but Cannon is not Vollmer at right tackle. Mathis getting to Brady concerns me. When Brady gets pressured, he tends to get not into a rhythm, and that's bad for this offense. To offset that, I hope they run a lot more than they pass against the Colts, as I think they will have great success, and it keeps Luck to fewer opportunities to be on the field. Now, that is a great point, Howard, and I'm glad you brought it up so we could add it onto this program. That's a huge key. If you had Vollmer at tackle, maybe Mathis doesn't appear to be quite as big a factor. I have a feeling they'll probably try to move him from side to side, so the Patriots will be kept guessing. And so to offset Mathis and the hard-charging defensive line, you're going to run the ball. Are you going to dink and dunk? Are you going to play controlled? And because the byproduct of that is you keep the ball out of Andrew Luck's hands. Totally agree with you. I realize that because defensively it screams that you should throw against this Indianapolis secondary, I'm not convinced that's the way to win this game. I'm convinced that you need to play your game more so than worry about what the other team can do. And this team has shown now that it can run the football and run it effectively. And if you can run it effectively against the Colts and keep Andrew Luck off the field, how is that not a win-win? Let's see. Here's our boy Melvin from Tennessee. He says, Hilton's the one I'm afraid of. He can beat you. I do think Fleener is the guy that can really beat us as well, but Belichick will make all of the adjustments. Thank you, Melvin in Tennessee. Next, Felix from Houston. Today is my son's first birthday. His birthday party is on January 12th. When I told my wife I was really excited about the weekend because of the Patriots game, she nearly chewed my head off. So, yeah, it's that big of a game. Happy birthday to your son, Felix. I feel good about the Patriots taking this game because of the matchup. Forecast calls for rain, I believe, so I expect a big dosage of blunt. And, yes, it is supposed to be wet here. Don't know the amount yet, but, yes, slick. Taking control of the clock with a solid running game will be key. As far as defense, I expect for Hightower to move inside, replace Spikes, leaving Dane, Fletcher, and Jamie Collins on the outside. And here's where it gets a little tricky. As far as Hilton, I expect for either Logan Ryan to be matched up with him or some safety help. Either McCourty or Gregory, the matchup to be watched will be on whomever is matching up on Fleener. Kid is who worries me, but seeing how Tlaib eliminated a hurt Jimmy Graham to no catches, I'll take our chances with him. I probably won't get to listen in tomorrow, so I'll go ahead and drop my prediction. He says Pats 41, Colts 24. That is big scoring. Thank you, Felix. Brian says, I think it takes a balanced team, slightly favoring the run on offense, slightly favoring defense overall. High-powered offenses aren't always going to be able to spread it out and put up the bunches of points, as has been shown in the past several Super Bowl runs. It also helps to have a coach who is great at making in-game adjustments, either immediate or by quarter or half. Sometimes teams do things you don't plan for. The coach who can make the adjustments the quickest tends to be the victor. And who would I have back from IR if I could? Wilfork or Mayo? Gronk would be an awesome addition to the offense, but I think the Patriots really miss Mayo and Wilfork's defensive leadership in the games, and the Pats offense has shown it can win without Gronk. Thank you, Brian. Steve and Colleen, John, to the issue of Chucky's statements in general, I do not have an issue with him stating his opinion. This is what we opened the show with in case you tuned in late. And he talked about how he thinks the Colts are the team of destiny in the AFC. However, there seems to be a counterculture that frowns on success because somehow it seems unfair that an individual or group could excel and have a consistent level of success over time. To dovetail this with the idea of luck, talent, and coaching, luck in my mind is where preparation and hard work meet opportunity. I believe that is the definition of luck. You're absolutely right about that. Patriots do, in fact, have luck because they work their collective tails off. Talent is an interesting point because, unlike many other sports, football requires not just individual talent, but a talent that can be meshed together as a team that can and often does exceed that of any one person. Finally, I'd want Big Vince back. No respect, disrespect to Gronk, but perspective is the Pats were able to win games while with their D while Gronk was not available. And if we look at yards allowed since Vince went down, his impact becomes apparent. In a perfect world, we'd have Gronk, Vince, and Seabass all on the field for this stretch. Keep up the outstanding work. Stay positive. And he says, I am positive the Jets suck. See how that works? Okay.
Like that was a little play on words, wasn't it?
Tim in San Francisco, who says he's a Notre Dame alumni dating a Longhorn alumni. Wow. Yes, September 2015 at South Bend. I want tickets to that game, Tim. I'm trying to go. I want to go to that game in South Bend, so we'll have to hook up. He says, John, missed the first two questions, but here goes. Talent gets you to the Elite Eight, but after that it comes down to maturity, mental toughness, and coaching. Since all games become very close, the X's and O's, execution, and avoiding choking becomes the most important factor. I agree that Wilfork is the most important loss at this point. Our offense is fine. We worked around the Gronk thing. The run game is established, and Edelman-Dola, I like the combination there, Edelman-Dola gives Brady the possession receivers they need. Real quick, what do you think of Charlie Strong? Can he bring the horns back? I've loved the Charlie Strong pick ever since they made it. In fact, I was one of the few that initially called for Charlie Strong to be the number one candidate. So I think he can do it. I think the big question is whether or not, you know, the PR game that you have to play, the CEO that you need to be in order to be, you know, an effective, winning coach at Texas, that the jury's still out on that. But as far as football knowledge, he's a home run. Home run. Dave in North Park, I disagree with a couple of Eric's previous premises. If a college student, not necessarily an athlete, was offered a lucrative short-term opportunity prior to graduation, it would be advantageous to take it. And then if the opportunity of college presents itself again, come back and complete their education. An extra year or two of college isn't likely to change the deposition of someone who doesn't have a plan B if pro sports doesn't pan out. As a former college athlete, I've seen this play out with former teammates that graduated and or finished their athletic eligibility and have since wallowed in the mire. That's true. He says, money is never a good reason to make a decision. What the F are you talking about? The majority of the decisions we make in life are based on money and the resources that we have at our disposal. Well, that's also true, but maybe sometimes, you know, I'm not going to say it. I could goof on it, but I'm not going to go there. Okay, I'll go there. I mean, you're going to consider who we work for here. What do you mean money's not a factor? Sky says, great show. Just a quick question. I think it's clear who needs to step up on the offensive side of the ball, but on D, who needs to have the biggest game for the Pats to take it? Wow. Sky West. Nice name. Sorry, I used your last name here, but that's in New Mexico. That's awesome. Biggest game defensively? I'd have to say at least right now you're probably looking at somebody in the secondary, so I'm going to say it's got to be either Tlaib or McCourty, whoever they deem will be, you know, the primary go-to defender on T.Y. Hilton and or Fleener, the tight end. That's just off the top of my head without really giving it a lot of thought, Sky, but I think it's going to help because clearly you're concerned about Andrew Luck and his ability to throw the football. So that's going to come down to the secondary. Now, you could also make a statement and say, well, it's really going to depend also on whether or not the Patriots get effective pass rush on Luck. But I would say, well, Luck threw three picks last week and they still won the game. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. But I'll stick with Tlaib at least in this stage because if he has a great game and Hilton is limited, the Patriots are going to win this. I certainly will step out and tell you that. Dave in Monterey, California says, here's my answers to your questions. Number one, while I believe it certainly takes some form of combination of talent, luck, or coaching, I don't believe that you can depend on a specific ratio. Throughout the year, you'll get lucky at some point. Throughout the year, you'll find talent or lose talent. The only thing you can consistently rely on is coaching. I believe it comes down to coaching, coaching, coaching. Success in the playoffs comes down to smart, disciplined players. To put it simply, do your job, have situational awareness. Good coaches will put their players in the best position to capitalize on their strengths. Intangibles don't show up if the player isn't in a position to make a play. That's an interesting take. Number two, who other than Luck concerns you on this team? There are two scenarios you can run with here. One, who's the second most dangerous player on the field wearing a Colts uniform? And two, if Luck goes down, who would have to step up? I'll answer both. With Andrew Luck on the field, I'm very compelled to say T.Y. Hilton is the second threat, but I'm going to go with Robert Mathis. And that seems to be a slight edge to Mathis here. Pats need TB12 to have a good game in order to win this game. The defense will give up yards, maybe even points, but the only reason the Pats should be concerned is if the offense doesn't play up to their potential, Mathis has the ability to disrupt the offense. If Luck goes down, next most dangerous player is going to be Adam Vinatieri. They'll have a hard time moving the ball in the air. He'll have to go to the running game, which would be less effective. Could still get them into field goal range. If the defense can slow down the Pats offense, Vinatieri becomes a deciding factor. And then of all the players on IR, who would I want back? Again, I'm going to go with a two-pronged answer. Based on the teams that are left, I think Vince would have more of an impact. My caveat to that is if the Pats play Seattle or San Francisco, in that situation, I'd want the big, strong Gronk able to fight against those stout defenses. Well thought out answers, Dave. Thank you very much for those. Here is Donald in Japan who says, John, I have to say I'm afraid that I'm worried about this game, not as much as if it was Kansas City, but this is not a team to overlook. We came out flat very often, just like Andy Reid. We'd like to move to that passing game when we get comfortable. I'm worried about this game as much as I was about the Baltimore game. With players I'd love to have back, no question, it's Vince Wilfork, a big guy who takes up a lot of room, great run stuffer, true leader on defense where you can minimize the lack of communication among all those young starters and many who haven't been to the playoffs before. I think defensive leadership is really going to be needed in this game. That's a good one. He says, I don't see how you guys are too negative. You both often say exactly what I say throughout the week of the football week that I do. Then again, maybe I'm just negative. It's a good way to look at it, Don. And thanks for the email. Felix, guys, it's me again. Thank you, Felix. Just wrote in a little while ago. I'm not sure if my email was read, but here's one more interesting tidbit. I was doing some research. NFL conspiracy theory. Oh, I see what you... Okay, all right. 2009, okay, Saints played, beat the Eagles in their home opener, won the Super Bowl. 2010, Packers played and beat the Eagles, won the Super Bowl. 2011, Giants played and beat the Eagles and won the Super Bowl. 11, that was 11. And then 12, the Ravens played and beat the Eagles in their home opener and won the Super Bowl. So in 13, team to play and beat the Eagles in the home opener was, yes, San Diego. Yes, that's correct. Somebody, I think, brought that up earlier this week, but you're right. San Diego could definitely be the destined team, without a doubt. Do we have any others here that I need to? Yes. Oh, Sky says, answering the questions. I will pick the wild card here and say execution. At this stage in the season, all the players and teams are talented. If you execute, Luck won't play a role. And the player most likely, other than Andrew Luck, to be concerned, by far, Robert Mathis. The key to beating the Pats is to get Brady off his game. There's no one in the league better at it getting to the quarterback. And then as far as a Patriot player on IR, you'd like to have back, hands down, Vince Wilfork. We still have our best player on offense with Brady. We need a leader back on D. The leader is there on the offense. Brian in Essex, Vermont says, who worries me more on the Colts? Luck, Hilton, and Mathis. Those three represent the big playability of the Colts by far. Yes, Fleener can make plays, but without Hilton, Fleener isn't carrying the Colts. Rachel says, we don't have the talent like in the past years, but this year's team doesn't play like they believe they're any less talented. in 09, arguably our real rebuilding season. We didn't have the talent. It seemed as if the players knew it and played down to it. But this team seems to have a chip. They don't care how they win. They just do it, whether it's in a game that's virtually over or a game that comes down to the end. On the upside, despite the injuries and the loss of a certain expat in Orange, are you shocked this team has not been blown out in any of their four losses this season? Can't say that about the Colts. Also, in our four losses, our crappy defense gave up less points than in some of our close wins. I do think that the injuries have made our roster weaker as far as talent. I do believe we wouldn't have been as mentally tough had we not had to find a way to win despite those injuries. Good point. One player to bring back, Will Fork. I don't want to see Brady forcing the ball to Gronk. With Will Fork, BB can tinker with the rest of the line. Guys can move back to positions that may suit their skill set more. What's more important? Team sport. Talent is important, but if that talent doesn't play up to its potential and the coach doesn't put them in a good position to win, then a less talented team can win if they play well or in the right position. And she says, in closing, go Chargers. If they do happen to beat Denver, I don't have fears of them beating us. Eventually, a team will play down to their record. Ravens last year were a better team than San Diego, so I don't think that much of Denver outside of their offense, which isn't unstoppable by any means against a good defense. That's a well-thought-out, well-involved email. Thank you, Rachel. Rich. It's very important that Fred picks the Patriots to win tomorrow. Please allow Fred to feel comfortable with his selection. Okay, well, that's fair enough. And then Robin in Alaska. I know the question is, which IR player would we want back? However, if I had a magic wand, I'd be more comfortable granting health for the players that are on the active roster than bringing back even all-pro talents like Will Fork or Gronk. Interesting take on that. Let's see. Do I have one more? Yeah, John says on Twitter, he says, Gronk greater than Wilfork, greater than Mayo in terms of who I would choose to come back if I could pick one. All right, thanks for that. Appreciate that. All right. So, thank you for the cards and letters, kids, as always. I actually thought that, at least thinking about it, these are the questions, as I try to look at it from outside, these are the questions that I would want answered. And I thought that, you know, well, let's see what your thoughts are, because I don't hold all the definitive keys to wins or losses here, and I think everybody realizes that. But it certainly does come down to an interesting choice that you'd make. Clearly, you're not going to get somebody back on IR, but it does kind of show you where the mindset, I think, is of where fans are and where maybe even the media might be, that if this defense could be a little tighter, a little stronger, that maybe this, you know, because it seems like all of the defenses that are remaining in the playoffs have their problems. You'd want to have that edge because of the adage that defenses wins championships. So that one doesn't surprise me as much that Will Fork edged out Gronk in that category. As far as players to worry about on the Colts other than Luck, Robert Mathis gets a slight edge here over either Fleener or T.Y. Hilton. Hilton probably a close second in that one, though. And I'm not surprised that Mathis is there because, yes, you do have to worry about the protection of Tom Brady and disrupting the rhythm of the Patriot offense. Huge key. And then as far as what wins in the NFL playoffs, a lot of late sentiment for coaching. Late sentiment for coaching. And it's hard to disagree with that when you have the coaches that you do and you see the record that Bill Belichick has had, not only in the regular season but in the playoffs. Hard to fight through that. But, yeah, I do think intangibles play quite a bit, and I do think there's something to teams that get on an emotional roll. That's also very close and very prominent in the playoffs. Tomorrow's program here is going to be special because we'll feature ESPN Colts beat writer Mike Wells. We'll have, of course, the pro football guru, Russell Baxter, and then NFL Network, NFL on CBS, and Sirius NFL analyst Solomon Wilcox will join us tomorrow here in the playbook. So we are action jam-packed for Thursday's program because it'll also be Prediction Thursday, and yes, if you pick the score and you're 100% right with it, yes, you'll still win a Patriots yearbook / media guide. So, all of that is on the line. You don't want to miss out. From earlier here at Gillette Stadium, head coach Bill Belichick with the very latest on the New England Patriots heading into their game with the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, as I said earlier in the week, obviously a real impressive Indianapolis, a real impressive football team, do a lot of things well. Shown a lot of poise, a lot of toughness, a lot of resiliency, explosive team in all three phases of the game. Can really score from anywhere on the field, on any play, regardless of whether they have the ball or not. And you know, we're going to have to do a good job for 60 minutes all the way across the board. It's going to take everybody and everything we got. So that's what we're building for Saturday night. And so we'll just keep plugging away here.
Bill, you had high praise for Adam Vinatieri, you know, in the past couple years. He's just turned 41 in December 28th. I'm curious, from your experience around kickers, what would be a realistic thought in terms of how long someone like Adam might be able to keep going?
You know, I don't know. He's a special, special guy. I know he trains hard, as he did when he was here with all the other players. Didn't have any, like, special routine, like a specialist would have or anything like that. Mentally, I mean, he's as tough as they come. So he's still banging them through. Looks like he's, you know, he's still good. So I don't know. I don't know what the future is, but just watching him now, he's as good as, you know, as good as he's always been, it seems like. You know, he was here in 96 the year I came in. That was his rookie year. You know, he's very consistent, dependable, tough-minded, good technique player, and doesn't look like it's changed.
When you think about kickers and they get up there in age, does anyone come to mind to you in terms of guys that were still as productive as they were early in their career?
Well, I mean, like a lot of guys have hit, you know, have kicked well, you know, well into their 30s. And beyond that, I mean, you can go all the way to Belanda, right? Kick when he was 50, whatever it was, 49. So, I don't know, but he's an effective player, and I have a lot of respect for Adam.
You seen them use their running backs in different ways at all?
Yeah, I mean, they you know, they all play. You know, Richardson's been a little bit more on third down, but Brown can play in those situations. And they both do a good job. They got a good fullback, and he's a good blocker. They use him some protection too. So, you know, doesn't look like they have too much concern for who's in there. They do it, you know, whatever the play calls for, and whether it's be pass protection or running the ball. It's like they can all do it.
Bill, you look around the league, you know, you guys have had a lot of cases where games have come down to the wire. The Colts had that 28-point comeback the other day. You sense some kind of trend in the league, maybe related to rules or the way defenses are playing and allowing for all these comebacks?
I don't know. That's the way this league's been since I've been in it. Half the games are decided by a touchdown or less, and a quarter of the games are decided by a field goal or less. And in a lot of cases, the games are closer than that, even when the score's more than that. But games come down to the end of the fourth quarter, and so that's, we're ready to play that kind of game every week. I think we have to be. And you see it throughout the league all the time.
But the big spreads, like, you know, you had 24 points against Denver, 28 points. I mean, is any league safe these days?
I don't know. I saw Buffalo come back from a 35-point deficit against Houston in whatever year that was, 92, 93, whatever it was. I mean, I don't know.
Bill, I know McCourty made the change to safety a while ago, but just how much has that helped the defense, and what's to say about him that he was able to make that adjustment so well?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Devin is one of our hardest-working, best-prepared players. He's a very intelligent player that understands the total defensive scheme, not just his position. Having played corner, he certainly understands the corner play and what needs to be done out there and how the safeties impact the corner's responsibilities and communication, all those things. You know, he's done a good job. He's made the move a couple times for us, actually. But it certainly has helped our, you know, helped our play in the deep part of the field over the course of the last year and a half with him back there. I mean, I think Steve's done a good job, too, and Duran when they've been in there. But, you know, Devin's, he's been really solid for us, good tackler, got a lot of range. He's got a lot of experience, smart guy. Communicates well with his teammates, so I mean, it's a good job.
Bill, full season now after his injury, Dane, how is he, Fletcher, how has he looked to you this year?
Good.
What kind of progress has he made?
Yeah, Dane hasn't missed anything all year from the first day of OTAs, training camp, all season. I mean, he's been right there with, you know, doing what everybody else has done, put it that way. So I don't see any effects from, after effects from you know, unfortunately, he got hurt, you know, very early in the 12th season. It was the first preseason game. So the surgery was early. The rehab was in time for him to be able to fully participate with the team through everything we've done this year. So he hasn't missed anything. You know, he worked hard in the off season, and even in the season last year, because he was rehabbing in, you know, October, November, December, January, as we were playing. You know, he was in the weight room working hard, getting back, and he was ready to go. And his physical readiness, his mental readiness for this season has been very good.
What kind of leadership and versatility does he bring to the linebacking corps?
I think he brings good leadership to the team, you know, period. I think we saw, especially in the kicking game, when, you know, Matt was out for a few weeks there in that first night, third of the season, wherever it was. You know, Dane was one of the many guys that stepped up, and, you know, with his experience and leadership in the kicking game. He's given us that same level of play defensively, whether it be in sub situations or regular situations. You know, he's a dependable guy that we all have a lot of confidence in.
Circling back to the safeties, Devin said last week that he believes Steve is the smartest guy in the secondary. Obviously, Devin's quite smart himself, but I think Akeem said something similar. How much of that, the on-field intelligence, has played a role in Steve's success?
Oh, a lot. I mean, Steve's a very instinctive player. Not only smart, but has good anticipation and awareness of what's happening back there. So I think that's definitely one of his strengths. You know, and Steve's played very well for us, close to line of scrimmage as well. Not that he's been there a lot, but he's certainly, you know, had his share of plays in short yardage, you know, in running situations where he's made plays down there around the line of scrimmage. He's very instinctive in the running game and the passing game formations. You know, he's, yeah, I mean, we're really fortunate. Like I said, Duran is, you know, for a young guy, has picked that up as well. You know, Steve and Devin have helped him, but, you know, Duran's picked it up well. So, I mean, whichever guys are in there, I don't want to say you don't notice it, but, you know, when as a coach and you're kind of watching everybody out there on the field, sometimes you notice when, you know, a certain player's in there because of, you know, maybe a drop-off or not quite the same level of execution or communication. You know, when those three guys are in there, you kind of really don't, it's sort of seamless. You know, they all communicate well, they all make good decisions, good calls. They're in the right place. They disguise well. They've all done a good job.
Speaking of, I guess, Gregory close to the line, I guess how remarkable is it that he's done well given his size?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a tough kid, and he's always been that size, so it isn't like he's changed. That's the way he's played since he's come into this league, and the way it was, you know, in college he played, you know, more corner. Or some corner, I should say, but in, you know, he's played different responsibilities in this league, but he's been a safety for the majority of it, and that's his, you know, his playing style. He's, you know, he's a tough kid, knows how to handle himself in there.
Well, from your experience, when you've either signed a player that has been with an opponent you're about to face in the past for an extended period of time, or you're facing an opponent that has signed, you know, a player that had been with you, like the Colts just did with Deion Branch, is there anything to be said for, like, the idea that that player could provide any type of information that could either help your team in the case of you having the player, or hurt you if you were on the other side of it?
I think that's way overrated. And a lot of times the information in those situations is sometimes it's misinformation because things have changed from whenever that person was. And I'm not saying that in any particular circumstance, I'm just saying in general, you know, a lot of times you know, player that's been with another team tells you something, this is what they do, or this is their call, this is that, and then it turns out that's not really what it is. So, I don't know. Honestly, I think right now, you know, we have enough trouble doing all the things that we do and getting them right and getting everybody to do them well, you know, and I'm sure they have the same thing with the amount of volume that, you know, you have in your different systems and the amount of volume that you face on the other side of the ball. You know, to be able to not only know everything that you're doing, but then also be able to figure out everything that they're doing. It's pretty overrated.
So do you change anything this week because of that? I mean, just
we'll do whatever we think's best.
Coach, I'm from NFL Japan. You've been to playoff almost every year in the past 10 years. Can you talk a little bit about your coaching philosophy?
Well, it's really one week at a time, and right now it's just trying to get ready to beat Indianapolis. It's not anything more than that. Last week it was about trying to beat Buffalo, and a week before it was about trying to beat Baltimore, and a week before that was about trying to beat Miami. So take it one game at a time, one week at a time, and try to figure out the best thing we can for that week and that game. When it's over, close the book on it, move on to the next team. I don't know about that. You've asked me what we do. That's what we do. I don't know if it's a key or not, but that's what we try to do.
Bill, is there any added challenge bringing a player like Reggie Dunn out into the practice squad? What is the biggest challenge for a player assimilating himself at this point of the season coming in the postseason?
It's simply a case of trying to, you know, take a look at players that you have an interest in, that you have an available spot for in the practice squad. We've done that all year. When there's been a spot, we've brought guys in. Some guys we've had a background with, some guys we haven't. But based on what the needs are of the team, based on what the options are for practice squad eligible players that are out there, and based on what kind of future we think the player might have in the team, well, that's what we did. I mean, whether it was him or Taylor Reed or Greg Orton or, you know, whoever it is, I mean, those are guys that we haven't had. There are other players that we've brought back here, like Mattis, who we have had. So, it's no big secret formula or anything. It's taking a look at your positions of need for practice, taking a look at the players that you feel like might have a future with your team, if not this year, maybe next year. Looking at your options, trying to decide what the best one is, and making a decision on it.
This is the dynamic of the playoffs affected at all? I mean, obviously you wouldn't bring a player in if you didn't think he could help, I assume, in preparation.
Well, maybe not in preparation, but in need. I mean, again, it's no different than, I mean, it's different, but it's not different than Orton, Reed, Mattis, you know, go on back through the rest of the year. I mean, it's some guys we've had in here on the practice squad that are now on other teams' practice squads or have been signed to reserve future contracts with those teams who are no longer available. Not saying they would or wouldn't be here, but they're not an option. Or the players who have been on our practice squad or off our practice squad that ended up on other teams' 53-man rosters. And we've had guys on our roster that have been on other teams' practice squads and so forth. So, I mean, that's just the NFL. Got a lot of guys, and when you need somebody, you know, I get together with Nick, and Nick gets together with the personnel department, pro personnel department, talk about what our options are. Sometimes it's clear cut, sometimes there's two or three. You pick the one he thinks best, and then maybe if you get another opportunity, then you go to the next guy. Or if you have a guy in here that doesn't work out, then get somebody else. I mean, like McGuffey, you know, I mean, it's... I mean, we've had, I don't know, five or six of those moves in the last couple of weeks. And there's no, like, magic wand to it. Just work through the process of looking at the personnel that's available and trying to make the best choice, long, short-term, and maybe upside potential. Some combination of those things.
Coach, when a team seizes momentum of a football game, how big of a challenge is it to get kind of control of the game back on your side?
Just depends on how good you are and how good they are. I mean, the only way to do it is to make a play. I mean, you got to make a play somewhere, whether it's in a kicking game or on offense or on defense, to, you know, try to swing things back in your favor. So whatever those opportunities are, hopefully you can, if that happens, you can do it.
So when you're watching film of T.Y. Hilton, what impresses you the most about him? What stands out to you the most?
I mean, obviously his production. You know, he's productive at all three levels of the defense. I mean, he's a vertical receiver. He's a good intermediate receiver, and he's a good catch and run short receiver that can turn short plays into big plays. So he's a dynamic player that can hurt you in a lot of different ways. He's a good route runner. He's fast. He can get down the field, but he can take a short play and turn it into a long run. Doesn't need a lot of space. good catcher. I mean, he really does everything pretty well.
What is your impression of the other two, the guys like LeBron?
You know, I mean, they in the opportunities they've had, I mean, they've all stepped up. Whalen and Rodgers, obviously Fleener. I mean, whether you want to call him a receiver or a tight end, you know, whatever he is, you know, Hayward Bay. I mean, those guys have all made plays for him somewhere along the line in different ways. You know, and Luck's done a good job of using all his receivers, using his backs, and obviously tight end in the passing game. I mean, he's done a good job of, you know, going to where the open guy is. I mean, I'm sure if he had his druthers, you know, he'd get it to Hilton, but it's not always Hilton. Sometimes he's covered, or they use him to attract, draw coverage somewhere else, and that opens up opportunities for other guys in the passing game and running game.
So a lot of guys are talking about the gravity of a single game season and how, you know, things might come up in a microscope. For guys who maybe haven't been to the playoffs, do you also have to make sure they're kept even keel and that, you know, they're still playing consistent football and not overthinking?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, football is still football. You know, the field markings haven't changed and, you know, I mean, nothing's changed. It's still football's football out there, so. You know, we gotta play the game the way that we've played it all year, tried to play it all year, the same fundamentals and, you know, basic concepts. But, you know, we all understand it's a one-week season. So we need everybody's best this week. We're playing against another great team. We're going to get their best. So it'll be a highly competitive matchup. I don't think we want to leave a stone unturned or, you know, anything less than 100% of our best out on the field Saturday night. That goes for all of us, players, coaches, everybody that has some impact and participation in the game. You know, this is the time to put your absolute best out there. And that's when it'll be needed, too, because we're playing a very good football team. So, and that is what it is.
Along the lines of sort of leaving no stone unturned, I was curious, like, during the regular season, when you know a certain officiating crew is going to be working your game, there might be an expectation, okay, this could be a tightly called game versus this crew doesn't throw as many flags. Now that we have not the full crews working these games, how does that change at all your process leading up to the game in terms of what you anticipate the way it will unfold?
Right. Well, I think there's always a certain amount of, you know, gamesmanship, if you will, in that aspect of it. And I certainly understand your comment about the tendencies of certain crews that they call a lot of this or they call a lot of that or whatever. But on the other hand, from game to game, and we've certainly gone into games saying that, well, this is a crew that throws a lot of flags and then they don't throw any, or this is a crew that kind of lets the players play and don't throw many flags and, you know, we get 10 penalties in the first half. So, you know, I mean, each game has its own dynamics, and I think you have to, at some point in the game, as a team and individually, figure out what type of game this is, you know, and what's, you know, where how much latitude there is in whatever aspect of it you're playing, wherever your position is that you're playing. You have to figure that out. So I don't think that's any different in this game than any other game. Could be one of those games that's tightly called and there's, you know, 25 penalties in it, and it could be one of those games where there's, you know, half a dozen penalties called. You know, I don't know.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.